Now turn to part two. You will hear a student called Tom giving a presentation about non-native species of animals in Australia and the problems they cause. For questions 7 to 15, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part two.
I'm going to talk about some of the new species of animals that have been introduced into Australia and the problems they've caused. Native animals like the kangaroo lived in Australia for millions of years, but when the Europeans came to settle there in the 18th century, they brought new animals with them, and these sometimes had a serious effect on the local ecosystems. One of the introduced species that caused most harm was the rabbit. They were introduced in the 19th century as food and kept in cages, but they soon escaped and took over almost the entire country. The only areas where they're still relatively scarce is where the ground consists of clay, as they like to have soft ground or sand to dig their burrows in. This means they're happy to live in deserts as well as farming land. These rabbits have had a huge impact on native Australian species as they compete with them for food. The rabbits eat the bark from young trees, which kills the trees, and they also consume vast quantities of young plants, destroying them before they can produce the seeds that native birds depend on for their food. One way you can deal with a harmful species such as the rabbit is to find another species that preys on it. But this doesn't always work out. A famous example is the case of the cane toad. This was deliberately introduced into Australia so that it would destroy small beetles that were harming the sugarcane crop. Well, it turned out that the cane toad wasn't particularly good at killing the beetles, but it was highly poisonous to other creatures. It could even be fatal to crocodiles. Because it has no predators, the cane toad has spread widely and become a major pest throughout large parts of Australia. And it's had serious effects on the biodiversity of these regions. Biologists are trying hard to stop the spread of the toads, but so far they've been unsuccessful. One animal that you wouldn't expect to find in Australia is the camel. It's certainly not native to Australia, but in fact it's estimated that there are more than a million camels there. They were first introduced in the 19th century as a way of providing transportation in the sandy deserts of central Australia. They were kept on farms and used for riding, and they also proved invaluable as beasts of burden, supplying necessary goods to the mines way out in the Australian outback. But once other forms of transportation arrived, the camels were released into the wild, where they bred and multiplied, feeding on a wide range of vegetation and having a huge impact on the life cycle of plants. They're particularly attracted by apricot trees and strip the branches in search of the leaves, which means the tree's unable to produce flowers or fruits. As well as affecting the environment, wild camels in Australia may do damage of other sorts. In times of drought, they've been known to come into remote villages in search of water and wreck the pumps there. Many of these communities are very poor, and the damage done by camels in this way can be hard to repair. So, what can be done to prevent invasive species from spreading further in Australia? One solution is to deliberately introduce diseases to wipe out a particular species. This was attempted with rabbits, and it was initially successful, but eventually the rabbits developed resistance to the disease. Attempts to build fences to contain the spread of invasive species can only work on a small scale due to the high cost of building and maintaining them. Shooting or trapping can be used, but the problem's too big for these to be effective methods. In fact, the only place where invasive species have been fully eradicated is an island, and it seems the mainland is just too huge for eradication to be possible, in spite of all the problems this causes the owners of farms there. But the experts haven't given up. The consensus is that broad efforts to control large areas of the country will be useless. Instead, targets have to be limited so that the work's done a little at a time. And of course, the country imposes legislation so that further introduction, deliberate or accidental, of potentially invasive species can be controlled. So perhaps there's hope that in the future the problem will begin to go away.
Now you will hear part two again.
I'm going to talk about some of the new species of animals that have been introduced into Australia and the problems they've caused. Native animals like the kangaroo lived in Australia for millions of years, but when the Europeans came to settle there in the 18th century, they brought new animals with them, and these sometimes had a serious effect on the local ecosystems. One of the introduced species that caused most harm was the rabbit. They were introduced in the 19th century as food and kept in cages, but they soon escaped and took over almost the entire country. The only areas where they're still relatively scarce is where the ground consists of clay, as they like to have soft ground or sand to dig their burrows in. This means they're happy to live in deserts as well as farming land. These rabbits have had a huge impact on native Australian species as they compete with them for food. The rabbits eat the bark from young trees, which kills the trees, and they also consume vast quantities of young plants, destroying them before they can produce the seeds that native birds depend on for their food. One way you can deal with a harmful species such as the rabbit is to find another species that preys on it. But this doesn't always work out. A famous example is the case of the cane toad. This was deliberately introduced into Australia so that it would destroy small beetles that were harming the sugarcane crop. Well, it turned out that the cane toad wasn't particularly good at killing the beetles, but it was highly poisonous to other creatures. It could even be fatal to crocodiles. Because it has no predators, the cane toad has spread widely and become a major pest throughout large parts of Australia, and it's had serious effects on the biodiversity of these regions. Biologists are trying hard to stop the spread of the toads, but so far they've been unsuccessful. One animal that you wouldn't expect to find in Australia is the camel. It's certainly not native to Australia, but in fact it's estimated that there are more than a million camels there. They were first introduced in the 19th century as a way of providing transportation in the sandy deserts of central Australia. They were kept on farms and used for riding, and they also proved invaluable as beasts of burden, supplying necessary goods to the mines way out in the Australian outback. But once other forms of transportation arrived, the camels were released into the wild, where they bred and multiplied, feeding on a wide range of vegetation and having a huge impact on the life cycle of plants. They're particularly attracted by apricot trees and strip the branches in search of the leaves, which means the tree's unable to produce flowers or fruits. As well as affecting the environment, wild camels in Australia may do damage of other sorts. In times of drought, they've been known to come into remote villages in search of water and wreck the pumps there. Many of these communities are very poor, and the damage done by camels in this way can be hard to repair. So, what can be done to prevent invasive species from spreading further in Australia? One solution is to deliberately introduce diseases to wipe out a particular species. This was attempted with rabbits, and it was initially successful, but eventually the rabbits developed resistance to the disease. Attempts to build fences to contain the spread of invasive species can only work on a small scale due to the high cost of building and maintaining them. Shooting or trapping can be used, but the problem's too big for these to be effective methods. In fact, the only place where invasive species have been fully eradicated is an island, and it seems the mainland is just too huge for eradication to be possible, in spite of all the problems this causes the owners of farms there. But the experts haven't given up. The consensus is that broad efforts to control large areas of the country will be useless. Instead, targets have to be limited so that the work's done a little at a time. And of course, the country imposes legislation so that further introduction, deliberate or accidental, of potentially invasive species can be controlled. So perhaps there's hope that in the future the problem will begin to go away.
That is the end of part 2.